Okay, I mean, I'm just going to invite Andrew or both of you. I don't know how you guys want to do it. Whatever you guys want to do, we'll just trust the Holy Spirit. We trust God, do whatever, you know, needs to be done this day. So, let it be. Come on. Let's give him a hand, guys. Don't share a few words who they are and stuff, but hey, welcome.
Amen. Can I have the something to put my Bible on? Just like maybe that thing or a music stand or something like this. Hey, good morning, everybody. Are you blessed? Come on, are you happy? Amen. Thank you. God is so good. Amen. You can feel the presence of the Lord. It's like we went into the throne room of heaven this morning. Oh, here we go. Thanks, man.
It has wheels, you can move.
It's got wheels, so I can like move all around, like a move. Okay, sweet. Well, we're so grateful to be here this morning. I believe God wants to do some powerful things. How many of you agree that God wants to move with power? Amen. And so, if I talk too fast, just look at me like this and go like, "Slow down, bro," because I get excited and then it's just like a big motor and it just keeps going really fast. So. But we honor you guys and thank you so much for having us. And it's a blessing to be here with you guys in Portland, Oregon. Come on, somebody. We're in Portland. Is that the blessed city? Come on. This is my beautiful wife, Rochelle. She was playing the drums earlier. Come on. That was awesome. You want to say anything?
Just want to say thank you guys for having us so much. I just love the hunger in this place. I feel like you guys are going after it and you guys don't want just a little bit. You guys want more and more. And so it's such a blessing to be here and just to like go after God together. You know, we go to different churches, traveling around. And so it's like when there's a fire and there's a hunger, it's so encouraging for us. And we're like, yes, we're just going to run with you guys. So I just wanted to say thank you for that. And yeah, just like a quick word, I just felt like the Lord, just as we were praying and preparing and getting ready for just being here at Transformation Center, I just felt like the Lord is just wanting to increase like levels of faith. And yeah, just like the things that maybe you guys are believing for, I don't know, it could be relational, it could be maybe family members getting saved, or maybe just believing for greater things. I feel like the Lord just wants to release like that greater level of faith over you guys. And yeah, there's just a couple of verses. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. It will be yours, and that's Mark 11:24. And then also in Matthew 17, you don't have enough faith. Jesus told them, I tell you the truth, even if you have a faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from there, and it'll just happen, and it'll just be. And so whatever you guys are declaring for, believing for, I feel like just believe that it's going to be there, and it's just going to be your guys'. So grab hold, take hold of it, and run with it. And so I'm so excited to be here. And so, yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, we'll just pray and believe and bless you guys. So, Lord, I just thank you, God. I pray that the people here at Transformation Center, that they will just believe and that they're just going to know that it's going to be theirs. And so I just pray, God, and activate a gift of faith over them in Jesus' name. And I just thank you, God, that it's going to go from, they're going to go from glory to glory, from here and then to the greater things of the Lord. And so we just activate that gift of faith and just believing for the unseen and that they're just going to call things and it's going to be like an immediate response. It's like, wow, I just asked for that yesterday and it's here already. And so I just thank you, Lord, for breakthrough and for the anointing to go, and that they're just going to believe and have the things, Lord, and it's the things that are in your heart, God, that wants to come unto this earth. And so I thank you that they are partnering with you, Jesus, and believing and releasing those things here in Portland in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, give Jesus a hand. That's awesome. Oh, actually, can you pass me those real quick? Just to make mention, some of you guys already know about this stuff, but I just want to make a quick mention of some of the things, the worship. I don't know if you still use these CDs. Praise God. for the young people, this is how we used to put music out, and they have these little compact discs. You put them in your car. Okay, whatever. Anyway, I have a new album. I recorded it actually a month after I was with you guys. I recorded this in October last year, and then we released it in like maybe February of this year. So this is the newest stuff that we had, and I planned to record 6 songs, but then it came out to 13 because what happened this morning happened then. You just get in the river, you start flowing, and songs just start coming. And a lot of the tracks on here are the spontaneous stuff that just happened. So we were at Fire and Glory with Jeremy and Miranda Nelson. How many of you guys love Jeremy and Miranda Nelson? Yeah. So we were there and worshiping with them. And so you can get this there, or if you do Spotify, Apple Music, or whatever, you can find this on there. We played that song today, Freedom Race. There is joy in the house of the Lord. It's there. Does anyone want this CD? Does anyone use CD players? Come on, bro. It's all you, bro. This is for you. You can come and the price is right. Anyway. you can. You want me to throw it to you? I have cassettes for somebody. No. There you go, bro. Hey, there it is, man. And then just a couple books I share with these. I'm going to go real brief on this. I'm going to share a little bit out of the second book. But I wrote this book called Carriers of the Ark. The Ark of the Covenant was a place where the presence of God dwelt. This is where God's glory dwelt in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, the priests were meant to carry this ark upon their shoulders. In other words, the shoulders represent responsibility. It was the priest's responsibility to carry the presence of God. How many know in the New Testament, we have all become priests unto the Lord. And so now it's our responsibility to carry the presence of the Lord everywhere we go. And so I wrote this book to say, I want to be the kind of person, I think you want to be the kind of person to carry the presence of God. How do we do that? That's what this whole book is about. And I've seen this happen where we're in church services and the presence of God comes, but then we're in grocery stores or gas stations. I was at Costco gas station. I don't know how much gas is here, but down in San Diego, it's crazy untold amount of money to buy a gallon of gas. I was getting gas and I'm getting there and I saw this lady working there and I looked at her and the Lord said, he started telling me that she had pain in her neck and her back. And I'm like, I'm at the Costco gas station. And so, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like anybody was on the keys and somebody was praying and someone blew a shofar in the corner and then now God's going to move. It was like, I carry God's presence everywhere I go. And then this lady, I just walked up to her. I said, hey, listen, you need to get healed, don't you? And she said, yep. And she totally got healed. And so whether it's there or wherever, I mean, I did a prayer walk one time. We have a university across the street from our church. And I was just praying through that God would minister to the students because I believe God wants to move in the college campus. Amen. And so I'm walking through there. And then one of the students that were in our group saw me. They said, hey, come pray for my sisters. They just dropped me off. And so I went, followed her to the parking lot and I prayed. And I'm telling you, this girl's back got healed. This other girl, she couldn't lift her shoulder this far because of pain and all that. And then and then after prayer, bam, she's totally healed. And then another girl got healed of asthma and comes moving in the parking lot of a university. Come on, somebody. This is what God wants to do. He doesn't just want to move in here. He wants to move out there. Amen. And so God wants to move in your family. That's what this whole book is about, carrying the presence of God. And then this is a book about the fierce peace of God. And I shared with you guys before, I'm going to share a little bit out of it today. But I believe that God, you know, how many of you know 2020 was one of the craziest years that anyone has ever experienced? Well, guess what? We might be coming into round 2, you know, pretty soon here. We got election year coming up. So I'm not saying that to be doom and gloom. I'm just letting you know the world is not going to get easier. It's going to get crazier. And we need, if we're going to move forward, we need the fierce peace of God. I had this encounter with the Prince of Peace in 2020 where the Lord appeared to me. And the long story short is that I began to rest in his presence and he began to fight for me. And I discovered that when I rest in him, he fights for me. But the problem is many people try to take Jesus's place and fight the battles that only Jesus was meant to fight. And so they end up taking Jesus's place instead of taking his peace. We're supposed to take his peace and not his place. And I believe the Lord wants to equip us with his fierce peace. And so I'm going to talk about this a little bit today. But these are, you can get these out in the lobby, and they'll be out there if you want to check those out, or you can go on Amazon. But if you have a Bible, I want you to turn to, we're going to jump all around, but I want you to turn to Judges chapter 6, and we're going to look at a little bit of a story here in the scripture. Judges chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 11 in just a few moments. Ooh, hallelujah. I can feel the presence of the Lord. Come on, just put your hands out. And we're going to get into the Word in just a second. I just want you to be ready when we get there. Just put your hands out. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your Spirit. Right there. God, I thank you. Just put a demand. Just open your heart. We put a demand on the anointing this morning. And we thank you for the worship that we were able to just go right in to your throne room and declare what heaven's been declaring. You are holy. You are worthy. Come on, just tell him that. Just say, Lord, you're holy. Tell him, you're holy, Lord. We worship you. And we bless you, Lord. And right now we just take authority over the spirit of fear. And we take authority over anything that would try to stop your people. We declare in the name of Jesus, God, that the angel armies just fill this place. And we just declare Jesus reigns in this house. Jesus reigns over his people. And Father, I thank you for strongholds to break today in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that fear is bound, that fear has to go. And God, that faith comes into your people. Just like Rochelle was saying earlier, God, I thank you for faith filling hearts today. In Jesus' mighty name. If you agree, shout amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. I feel faith rising this morning. This is Judges chapter 6, verse 11. It says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress, in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? And so he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Everyone say amen. Amen. This morning, I want to talk to you about breaking fear. I feel this, and we were singing it in worship, but I feel this, that the Lord wants to break fear off of his people. Now, and I'm looking at this story, and we're going to look at the story of Gideon, but this is what I've realized looking in scripture and then in my own life, that fear always stands at the doorway of your destiny. There's great things. How many believe God has called you to do great things? I believe God has called you, he's called me and my family to do great things, to make an impact on the earth, to see the kingdom of God come, to see people receive healing and deliverance and salvation. I mean, we've been traveling around the world, and I was in the Philippines in the month of May this year, and we were worshiping, releasing the fire of God, and I'm telling you, it was so powerful that the fire trucks were called, the fire department was called to come to the place where we were holding the crusade. And somebody reported seeing fire on the top of the building where we were ministering. I mean, that's crazy right there. The supernatural fire of God showed up. And then we saw thousands of people give their lives to Jesus. We saw tumors dissolve out of people's bodies, cancers healed and all this stuff. I believe we're all called to do great things like this. To see the miracles, signs and wonders of God be released in the earth. To see Jesus' kingdom come on the earth just like it is in heaven. How many say amen to that? But here's what I found. Is that every time we go to step forward towards our destiny, guess who's also there trying to stop? There's fear that tries to stand in our way. Has anyone ever experienced that before? And I'm telling you, God wants to break fear off of His people. And I believe God wants to break fear off of some of us today, this morning. I believe God wants to break the spirit of fear so that we can walk fully into our destiny. It's fear wants to hinder us from stepping into our purpose. But I believe God actually creates moments for us to overcome. I believe God creates situations, and I would call them battles. God puts us into battles on purpose so that we could awaken the warrior within us. The name Gideon actually means a warrior. Did you know that? The definition of Gideon's name means a warrior. But what you find in the scripture is that Israel is having trouble. They're under oppression from the Midianites. And the Bible's, if you read the earlier verses in Judges 6, it says that they were in idolatry. What is idolatry? It's when you begin serving another god other than the only true God. Amen? And Jesus is the only true God. Amen? And so when we begin to shift our attention and shift our focus to something else, then we begin to get in idolatry. And the Bible said that God said, all right, well, if you guys are going to be in idolatry, then I'm going to send the Midianites. And the Midian actually means strife. It means contention. It means a struggle. And so I want you to see this picture, because a warrior, Gideon, was threshing wheat in a wine press. That's not where you're supposed to do that. He was hiding away from his enemy because of fear. Watch this. A warrior was stuck in fear when he should have been in the battlefield, because fear had held him back. Every time that Israel would have a harvest, they would get all their crops, the crops would come forth, and they would have everything that they thought they needed. Then the Midianites would come in and steal everything. They would burn their stuff, and every single time. So that's why Gideon's like, I'm going to take our harvest, and I'm going to hide over here somewhere, and I'm going to do this because I'm afraid that the Midianites are going to come. But how many know God sees us differently than we see ourselves? I think this is so crazy, because you have, at that time, these are the most powerful people on the earth. The people of God are the most powerful people on the earth, but yet you see him hiding away from the enemy. And I feel like this is what happened in 2020, and I believe that there's another wave of, we're going to call it crazy, there's another wave of crazy coming. And this is what happened, though. You had the most powerful people on the earth locked up in a room because of fear. Anyone with me? And I'm saying, I think that is the craziest thing to see, the most powerful people on the earth hiding away because of fear. Because God knows, and we know looking at the story, that these guys are more powerful than all of their enemies. They actually have the Lord God on their side. It reminds me of another story in scripture that when you look at Judges in 6, you see it in Gideon, but then you see it in this chapter, 1 Samuel 17, where there's a story that we know of called David and Goliath. But what you find in this story is that you have Israel, they are going to battle, and every time they go to battle, Goliath, this 9-foot-9 giant, starts talking trash to them. You know what I'm talking about? He is a qualified trash talker. You know anybody like that? Okay, don't elbow the person. Don't, never mind. We all know people who are good at talking trash. And this guy, Goliath, was a trash talker. And what did he do? He spoke to Israel and put reproach on them and basically talked down to them for 40 days straight. And the Israelites, they just listened over and over and over to a giant talking trash to them. And you know what the Bible says? I'm going to quote you scriptures, and you just have to trust that I know the verse. We're not going to turn there. But it's 1 Samuel 17, verse 11. It said that Israel and Saul, the king, they were all dismayed and greatly terrified. That means they lost heart, they lost courage, and they were all greatly terrified. And you want to know why? Because they listened to the voice of a giant for 40 days. Later on in scripture, the same thing happens to the people of God. I'm doing this because I want to paint a picture to show you that this happens to the people of God. And if it happened to them in the scripture, then maybe it might be happening to some people here. Amen? And so later on in the scripture, Jesus tells his disciples, we're going to go on this boat and we're going to go to the other side of the lake. This is in Mark chapter 4. And they say, we're going to get on this boat. We're going to go on the other side of the lake. And they get in the boat. Jesus goes to the back of the boat, gets on a cushion and takes a nap. Come on, somebody. That, you know, we have those things that say, what would Jesus do? Well, taking a nap is part of the things that Jesus would do. So come on. After this service, we're all going to take a nap. Praise God. But Jesus takes a nap. And then as they go across the lake, the Bible says a furious storm came upon them. And the disciples were freaking out. Meanwhile, Jesus is taking a nap. Now, that's crazy to me that Jesus can take a nap in the midst of a life-threatening storm. Does anyone else find that crazy? That's wild. But Jesus isn't moved by it because he's trying to prophesy to us that he's not moved by the storms that happen in this world. But the disciples, meanwhile, they're freaking out. They shake Jesus, wake him up, and they say, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care that we're all going to drown? And they're freaking out. Now, these are like supposed to be, like Peter's supposed to be a tough guy. You know what I'm saying? He is a tough guy, fisherman guy, and he's going, we're going to die. Jesus, wake up, please. And they're freaking out. Now, I'm going to finish that part in a second, but the same thing happens to them again. I have to point this out. All throughout Scripture, this is happening to the people of God. Later on, John chapter 20, Jesus dies on the cross. They don't know he's resurrected yet. So they go in this room. This is John chapter 20, verse 19. If you're taking notes, you can, or if you're watching online. John 20, they freak out because the Jewish people that at that time and the Romans, they killed Jesus. And so they thought, we're next. So what did they do? They ran away, locked themselves in a room because they were afraid. Why am I telling you all these stories? Because I'm looking at four different, we got Gideon, we got the army of Israel, and we have the 12 disciples who are really, if you look, these are the most powerful people on the earth. These are the dudes that have done crazy feats. Now, the disciples are the ones who Jesus sent them out. They're casting out demons. They're raising the dead. They're multiplying the food. They're seeing 5,000 people get fed with just 5 pieces of bread and 2 pieces of fish. How many of y'all would agree these are the most powerful people on the planet? But when they go to step toward their destiny, there's an enemy that's right in front of them that they must overcome. And if they don't overcome it, they don't fulfill the fullness of God's plan. And it's called the enemy of fear. And I believe that, and I feel like the Lord put this message on my heart because he wants to break fear off of us. And here's how it looks in our lives. God says, hey, I want you to do this thing. And we're like, who, me? And we start talking like Gideon. Isn't this crazy? God goes to Gideon and he says, mighty man of valor. And he's like, who, me? You're talking to me? There's not nobody else in this wine press. You're like, are you talking to me? And God comes to us and he says, God, you're going to do signs and wonders and you're going to release the kingdom of God on the earth and you're going to make an impact. Your prayers are going to touch generations to come. And you're like, who, me? Are we talking to the same person here? I mean, I don't think you're talking to me. Anyone know what I'm talking about? God tells us we have a great destiny. And all of a sudden we talk just like Gideon. And we say stuff like this. We say, well, if God is really with me, then why is all this bad stuff happening in my life? We go, why? If God is really for me, and I've heard the testimonies of other people, then why is this, what's going on with me? Like, you're saying great things, but I'm looking at my life and it looks like a mess. It looks broken. It looks like I'm incomplete. Like, I don't really have what it takes. Why are we going through all this stuff if God's really with us? Anyone ever thought, okay, I guess you don't have to raise your hand on that one. And sometimes we look at our circumstances and we look at the stuff that's going on around us and we try to get our identity from that instead of getting it from God. And God's going like, are you going to get your circumstance from the battle? Or are you going to get your circumstance from the Lord? Are you going to get your identity from the Lord? And this is why I think it's so profound, because they look at this stuff. When we look at this passage and we look at Gideon, you go, no, Gideon, God's with you. But if we put ourselves in the story, we realize we can be like Gideon sometimes. We're actually warriors within. And I believe, and I said this already, but I want to say it again, that God will put you and me into places of battle, not to make us feel bad and to make us feel overwhelmed, but to awaken the warrior within us. Because how many of you know, most of the time, we won't rise to the occasion unless there's an opportunity to do it. We won't stand up like a warrior unless we actually really get pushed into it. You guys know what I'm talking about? God calls us to do something great, and we're like, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, like it's like you go through a battle, you go through a war, and then all of a sudden, oh man, I'm praying all the time because I need to pray just to make it. You know what I'm talking about? People, their prayer life is like really extreme when they're going through trials. And then when they're doing okay, they're like, maybe like once or twice a week, you know. A couple scriptures here, a couple scriptures there. And so I believe God actually sends us battles so that we would wake us up again. If we get too comfortable in the ways that we're living, I believe God will send us a battle on purpose to awaken the warrior within you. Oh, hallelujah. That probably wasn't the word that you came to hear this morning. But if you're wondering, I'm telling you, I believe it's like I can hear people saying what Gideon said. If God's really with me, then why is this all happening? On the contrary, God is letting all of this happen because he is with you and he wants to show you who you really are. He wants to show you that you're actually a warrior. He wants to show you that you were made for this. We're not made to go sit on a beach and just drink virgin pina coladas. Come on, somebody. We're not just made to sit there on the beach and just be on vacation mode the rest of our lives. Come on. While we live here, we have a purpose. We have the kingdom of God to bring on the earth. We have souls to save. How many of y'all have family members that need Jesus? Come on. If they're sitting next to you, come on, just raise your hand. Let them know. No. I have a neighborhood that needs Jesus. In my neighborhood, we live on a street, and it's like a big loop. So I'm praying that God, I'm going to do prayer walks and just walk around the loop over and over. Father, release heaven in this place. Release your glory in this place. God, let the salvation come. Let the Holy Spirit touch my neighbors. I'm going to walk through there because guess what? I live on that street, not for my own sake, but for their sake. I live there because God put me there and my family there so they would get to know Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not here for myself. If I was just here for myself, praise God, then we'd just all go to heaven and we'd be fine because I'm saved and I'm good to go. But how many know God placed you on the earth for a purpose and he wants you to impact the people that are around you? Oh, somebody should say amen right there and shout me down. I'm telling you, you have a purpose. You have a destiny. You have a reason. And one of the greatest things that stand in the way is fear. I'm telling you, we think we make up all these excuses. And I love how God ignored Gideon's excuses. You notice that? He says, Gideon, you're the mighty man of valor. And he says, if you're really with me, why is all this trials happening? Why are we getting beat up by the Midianites, all this stuff? And you know, God did not respond to anything that he said. He just said, oh, that's cool. Hey, Gideon, you are. Go in this might of yours and go deliver Israel out of the hand of the enemy. You're like, did you not hear what I just said? And then Gideon gives him another excuse. Well, I'm the least in my family. And you know, we're the smallest. We're the smallest tribe. We're just small. We can't do anything. And the Lord said, this is verse 16 again. Surely I will be with you and you'll defeat the Midianites. I mean, I love how God just ignores all of our excuses. So I'm telling you this because I believe there might be some excuses coming up. I'm telling you, God wants to use you to do great things. And every one of us might have an excuse that popped up in our heads. Well, you know, maybe my English isn't that great and I don't know if I can speak to people. Don't matter. Well, I'm not really that great of a communicator. It don't matter. Did God call you or did he not call you? Well, I'm not really that gifted. You know, like, it don't matter. You know, my family, we're just not who we are. Like our personality is just, we don't really do that. And God just ignored every single one of their excuses. Is that wild? He just said, no, man, you're called. You have something great to do. How many of y'all believe I have something great to do on this earth? I believe I live like this. Some people wonder why I'll worship passionately. Some people wonder why I dig into the scripture and the way I pray and all this stuff. You want to know why I live like that? Because I have a calling. I believe it. I don't just, you know, Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Do you want to know why only few are chosen? Because only a few respond to the call. Can I just break it down like this? Everybody is called, but only a few are chosen because only a few cross over the threshold of fear. Only a few say, I might feel afraid, I might feel intimidated, but I'm going to do it anyway. Oh, hallelujah. I'm looking at a room that's called, and then I'm looking at a room that's going to make a decision to be chosen. Come on, many are called, only few are chosen, because only a few say yes. How many want to say yes to the Lord's call today? Come on, I'll tell you a couple testimonies. 2019, we went to Pakistan with Jeremy and Miranda Nelson. We went there for a big crusade ministry, and I sat on the front row. Jeremy announced that we were going to go to Pakistan. And in my mind, I thought, that's good for you. I don't want to die. You know, like I just thought my head would get chopped off or something. I'm not going to lie. I mean, sometimes they get a little brutal over there. You know what I'm talking about? So I was just like, I don't want to go to Pakistan. And so I sat on the front row. And how many of you know when like, if you're in school and the teacher's trying to make eye contact with you and you don't want to look, so you look like this? And they're staring at you, waiting for eye contact. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? And they're waiting for you to look. I could feel the Holy Spirit right here looking at me, waiting for me to look. And I'm like, no, no, no. I'm thinking, if I don't look, maybe he'll go away. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he won't. And I just finally was like, I felt the Lord speaking. And I heard him. I just said, yes, Lord. And then he tells me this. Because I had been carrying a message, asking everybody else, it was like a word that I felt like in that season to say, does Jesus still have your yes? We may have said yes to him when we gave our lives, or we may have said yes to him a month ago, but does he still have your yes today? And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you've been telling everybody else, does Jesus still have your yes? But do I still have your yes? And I said, yes. I said, yeah, Lord. And then I already knew the whole conversation. He wanted me to go to Pakistan and preach the gospel. And I'm like, I don't want to go to Pakistan. And then he said, basically, do I still have your yes? And then I said, Lord, we don't have any money for that. Because these trips are like maybe $3,500, $4,000 or something like that. We didn't have the money to spend. And then he's like, oh, no, you do. You do have the money. And then the Lord said, you saved some money for your 10-year anniversary to go. We're going to go to Hawaii for our 10-year anniversary. And I had put some money aside for that. And the Lord said, oh, no, you do have money. And I said, no, but look, I just, okay, yes. But I said, Lord, we have to be in unity. You know what I mean? I can't be, because this is what the Bible, you know, the Bible said, you got to be in unity. You know what I'm saying? The two become one flesh. You know, we got to be in unity. So I said, I'll talk to Rochelle about it when I get home. And then the Lord's like, all right, cool. And then I go there, I tell Rochelle, and I say, hey, I feel like the Lord wants us to go to Pakistan, or for me to go to Pakistan, preach the gospel. And I feel like he wants me to use the money for our anniversary vacation. And you know what? Like 2 seconds goes by and Rochelle's like, well, yeah, if it's for the gospel, then let's do it for sure. And I'm like, come on, I'm trying to get out of this. And she's like, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, that's a good wife. She wants the gospel, Jesus, more than anything. And she's just like, you know what? Yeah, go for it. If you feel the Lord wants you to do it, let's do it. I'm like, all right, I guess so. And we go to Pakistan. And I'm telling you, I don't, you guys, if you follow Fire and Glory, you may have heard this, but we go to Pakistan, we go to this Afghanistan, they call it a refugee camp. It really wasn't a refugee camp. It was because these guys got kicked out of Afghanistan because they were weapons and drugs people. And they got kicked out. These are violent people, very dangerous people. Now, they didn't tell us this until we actually left that place. So we go there, they don't tell us until we leave. So we go there, we preach the gospel, I'm playing music, Jeremy prays for a couple people, some deaf ears open, and we preach the gospel, and this whole thing, but then they tell us it's time to get on the bus, and I say, okay, let's go home, and then we get on the bus, and they say, you guys are so brave, you guys, man, this is great, this was powerful. I said, oh, really? Why? They're like, yeah, they had stones and they were ready to kill all of you. And I was like, oh my gosh, I knew it. I knew it, Lord. But you know what? We got out of there. People gave their lives to Jesus. They called us Satan. They called us the devil because they're Muslim and they were preaching Jesus is King and Jesus is Lord, and they didn't like that. So they called us the devil and they wanted to kill us. But praise God, how many know Jesus still reigns and people gave their lives to Jesus. Deaf ears opened up and salvation came to that camp. Hallelujah. And I remember just going like, okay, that was crazy. So we get home. A few months later, the pandemic breaks out. And guess what? You know, as was happening all over the world, this group of people were starving. The Pakistanis were not taking care of them, so they couldn't really get food. So guess who they reached out to? They reached out to our contacts, the Christian people who fed them food and blessed them with the gospel and loved them irregardless. And in about, I think it was like maybe April or something of 2020, they were reaching out to our people and we were the ones blessing them. And they asked us for help. Instead of stones, they said, please come and help feed us. Come on. And this is the gospel, man. God changed their entire lives. But the story didn't end there. So we come around to the end of the year, and my brother-in-law asks us, hey, what do you want for Christmas? And I was just joking. I said, I want a trip to Hawaii. I want to meet Bill Johnson, and I want, like, I don't know. I said something else, like, I want, like, a go-kart or something. Oh no. I said, I want some gold bars. I was joking. I was joking. So we get to Christmas, and it wasn't an official gold bar, but it was like a little package that looked like a gold bar, and inside that was a wad of $100 bills, cash, and it said, here, I wanted to bless you with a trip to Hawaii. Now watch this. What did I lay down to say yes to Jesus even though I was afraid? A trip to Hawaii. Come on, so guess what? I got to go to Pakistan, say yes to Jesus, overcome fear, preach the gospel, see souls saved, healed, and delivered. Come on, somebody. And I got to go to Hawaii on a vacation. Oh, man. Why am I telling you that? Because fear would have stopped me. If I would have listened to fear, I would have ran away. And I would never have gotten to see both Pakistan and Hawaii. I never would have gotten to see the souls saved. Did they want to kill us? Yeah, they wanted to kill us. But I'm standing here today because, hello, Jesus protected us. Why am I telling you that? Because I'm telling you, God may be calling you to do something that's scary for you. But you have to cross over fear in order to fulfill your destiny. Are you with me today? Another time we were driving through, I don't know, you guys have In-N-Out Burger here? I don't know if you have. You do have it up here? No? Oh, you got to go south. You have one. Okay. We went to the In-N-Out drive-thru, and I was like, we're just getting food after church service one night, and we're walking, or we're driving through, and then I look over, and I see these, in Southern California, we call them essays or cholos, but homies, I don't know what else you'd want to call them. I don't know what's... I shared this in Canada. They just looked at me like, what, essay? Like, schoolwork? No, essay? What do you mean, essay? It's just a weird thing. Anyway, Southern California... There were these, like, Hispanic gangster-looking guys. Now, they weren't, like, super crazy, but they were enough to be like, oh, interesting. So we're driving through, and I had this thought and said, what if I went over there and preached the gospel to them and they all got saved? And then I thought, nice thought. And I was just like, let me get my burger. And the Holy Ghost was like, why don't you do it? And I'm like, oh, Lord, please. And so I'm driving through. I didn't tell anything to Rochelle because I didn't want any accountability. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Like, if I told her, then she's going to be like, come on, let's go preach. I'm like, oh, no, I didn't want it. So I go through and we get our food. And, you know, the only verse that God gave me as an encouraging verse, it wasn't like, you know, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or Romans 8:31, if God is for me, who can be against me? No, none of that came to mind. The only verse that came to mind, it's like one of the last verses in Acts chapter 5, and it says that the disciples rejoiced because they were counted worthy of suffering for the name of Jesus. Oh, come on. And this is after they just got literally beat up, like really beat up after preaching the gospel. And so I'm thinking, like, I'm about to get shanked for Jesus today. Okay, that's a ghetto term for a knife. Okay, whatever. I'm like, I'm about to get stabbed for Jesus today. And I'm like freaking out. I'm literally freaking out. So we park, and then I go like, ugh. And I couldn't even eat the food. I thought, we'll eat our food and then we'll go. You know what I'm saying? Get a little food in you, feel a little better about your life. Nope, couldn't even eat the food. I walk up there and then I'm just letting you know, people of God get afraid, okay? But you can't listen to the voice of fear. You can't listen to it. It'll cripple you every single time. Are you with me? Joyce Meyer says, do it afraid. I had to just go there afraid. And then I went in, I pretended like I was going to go inside the store. And then I get to the door and I'm like, what the heck am I doing? And I walk over to the group of people and I said, hey, I was in the drive-thru and I felt like God wanted me to come and tell you guys that God loves you. And you know, the second I say that, this guy, a couple people on the side, they stand up, they're like, they're angry. They said, we don't want to hear it. I'm thinking, oh, here comes the knife. Here it comes. Here, I'm going to. But you know what they did? They were angry. They stood up and they walked away. And there was only like three of them walked away. I had a captive group audience. They all were listening attentively to whatever I was going to tell them. I preached the cross to them. I preached Jesus to them. I said, hey, the wages of sin is death. Everybody has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. But the free gift of God is that Jesus died on the cross. You can be forgiven of your sins, have a home in heaven, and have a real relationship with God today. And I said, you just if you want to accept Jesus, here's your chance. And I said, is there anybody here who would like to do that? And like two guys on the side kind of slightly put their hands up, like, you know, like a little like, you know, like a little, they're like kind of nervous about it. Because remember, I'm telling you, it's fear all the time. I'm telling you, the number one enemy of the people of God is fear. If you can push through fear, you will see God do amazing things. These guys are like putting their hand up. So I said, here's what's going to happen. It was like a church service. And I said, listen, here's what's going to happen. If you want to accept Jesus, I want you to get up out of your seat and come to the front. This boldness came on me. I'm telling you, there's 13 of them. They all got up off their seats, walked up, made a single file line in front of me. And they all stood there like ready to accept Jesus. It was like a crusade in the front of In-N-Out Burger. Come on. 13 people prayed to accept Jesus right there in the front there. We prophesied over one of them. We blessed them. We encouraged them. And come on, 13 people gave their lives to Jesus that day. Hallelujah. But you don't want to know, if it never would have happened if I listened to fear. It never would have happened. I would just be sitting here telling you, you should overcome fear, but never have any testimony of it. You should do it. I don't know how to do it for me, but you should do it. But I'm telling you, fear always stands at the doorway of your destiny. Now I'm gonna dig just a little. Can we go a little deeper? Can we go a little deeper here? Are you with me? You gonna come with me a little deeper? These guys are. I'm gonna fast forward to that Mark chapter 4 story. They're on the boat. They're freaking out. Jesus is sleeping, and they say to Jesus, "They say, Jesus, don't you care? We're all gonna die." That's the Andrew Hopkins paraphrase version. They said, "Jesus, don't you care?" Now I want you to hear this. Whenever the storm around you becomes the storm inside of you, it distorts your perception of reality. I want you to hear this. Whenever the storm around you becomes the storm inside of you, it distorts your perception of reality. In other words, you can't see life clearly. So what was happening? The storm was telling them to doubt God. The storm was telling them, be afraid. Jesus told them at the end of the story, he said, why are you guys so afraid? So we have to ask the question, whose voice are we listening to? We have to ask the question. And I guarantee if you ask this question consistently enough, you'll find out that fear has been dictating your decisions more often than you realize. Are you with me? So here's the question. I'll say it again. When the storm around you becomes the storm inside of you, it distorts your perception of reality. What happened to them? They let the storm decide what they're going to believe instead of Jesus sleeping. So watch this. They had the voice of the raging storm or the resting Lord. Who are you going to choose to listen to? What voice are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to the raging storms all around you? Gideon said, well, if God's really with me, then why is all this happening? That's the voice of the storm. The storm's going to kill us. We're going through the hardest time in our life. We're all going to die. Was that really true? Was that really going to happen? Come on, if Jesus is taking a nap and he said they're going to get to the other side, they're going to get to the other side. And this is what happens. And we all have this choice. Are we going to listen to the raging storm, or are we going to listen to the resting Lord? Jesus is asking us the question, whose voice are you going to listen to? I could have sat there and just stared at that group of people at In-N-Out and go, wow, that would have been nice to see them give their lives to Jesus. Or I could have broken agreement with fear and walked over there and shared the gospel with them. What if it's not going to happen? What if it does? What if they don't listen to me? What if they do? What if they don't get healed? No! What if they do? You will never know until you cross the line of fear. You'll never know. And I don't think you want to. I don't want to. I don't want to live the rest of my life in what if. I don't want to live like, what if this could have happened and that could have happened. I don't want to live in a dreamland of what could have happened if I stepped out in faith. Are you with me today? I want to step out in faith and see God do some powerful things. So watch this. I'm going to say it one more time. When the storm around you becomes a storm inside of you, it distorts your perception of reality. Watch. They couldn't even see Jesus correctly. They thought Jesus didn't care about them. They accused Jesus of not caring about them. They said, Jesus, don't you care? We're all going to drown. We're all going to die. You don't care. How many times does the church accuse God of not caring about them because they go through a trial? Man, that was worth the whole Sunday morning right there. If you don't get anything, you got to catch this. How many times do we accuse God of not caring about us because we go through a trial? We go through a hard time. We think, well, God doesn't care about me. Are you kidding me? I'll say what I said in the beginning. God actually put you in that trial on purpose to awaken the warrior within you so you could take out the enemy's stronghold in your city, in your family, in your own life. God doesn't put you in trials because he doesn't care about you. God puts you in trials because he believes in you. Oh, you guys got to hear this one. Get this in your spirit. God puts, think about this. Where do warriors belong? On the golf field? Come on, man. Do warriors belong just, you know what I'm saying? They don't just go to the golf field. They belong in the battlefield. They belong in the war. They belong where they can take some enemy strongholds out. They belong where they can see demons get cast out of people. They belong where they can see healing come to those and salvation come to those and strongholds break in people's lives. That's where warriors belong. Hallelujah. That means you got to go to the enemy territory. You can't just be sitting back in Christian Island with the... Come on, man, in complacent Pharisee Island. Come on, somebody. We can't just be sitting back on the beach drinking the virgin pina coladas and just relaxing our way until we get to heaven. Yeah, it's easier that way. Bobby Connor says, he said, if our destiny was just to go to heaven, then the only two ministries that we need is the evangelist and the assassin. You get saved and then bam, take you straight to heaven. You know what I'm saying? Bam, 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 bam. It's easy, quick. Bam, bam, bam. Yeah. But how many know we have something to do here? And watch this. You're going to go through some trials. You're going to go through some tribulations, some hard things. But God's doing it on purpose because he believes in you. He believes that you have what it takes to overcome the enemy and to see strongholds break in your family, see strongholds break in the region, and to see people come to know Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. That's why God kept ignoring Gideon and all of his excuses. He's like, Lord, I can't do this. He's like, go in the strength that you have. Lord, my family's just small. We don't know anything. How am I supposed to do this? You will do this and deliver the hand. You know, like I'm like thinking like, what? It's like he didn't hear anything that Gideon said. He just said, basically, Gideon, you're going to have to get over your fear. You're going to have to get over this circumstance, and you just got to push forward because God believes in you. Are you with me this morning? You have to ask the question, whose voice are you listening to? Are you listening to the voice of fear, or are you listening to the voice of Jesus? Because God has called you. God's called you as mighty warriors. We have to break agreement with the voice of fear, and we got to push into God. Someone say amen. Here's another question. Who's really your leader? Who's the leader? So think about this. They're on the boat and they're going like this. The storm is trying to lead them. And Jesus is trying to show them by example. But I want you to think about this. The Bible said that Jesus was asleep in the boat on a stern. You know where the stern is on the boat? In the very back of the boat. Do you know where the steering, the rudder is in the boat? In the very front of the boat. So watch this. Jesus left it up to them and to follow the I'm going to say the character of Jesus in this. He said, I'm going to go sleep in the back of the boat and I'm going to leave the steering wheel up to you guys. Now, some people would say if to fall asleep at the wheel is negligent, but to fall asleep in the back of the boat is trusting. It's trusting somebody else to lead the boat. Are you following me so far? Jesus said, I'm going to take a nap in the back of the boat. I'm going to leave the steering wheel ultimately to the Father, but I'm going to have these disciples get in charge here because I want them to see what's really inside of them. I want to give them an opportunity. And you know what's crazy about this? James chapter 3 says that the rudder is like the tongue. That you're a rudder of a ship is like the power of a tongue. Your tongue has the ability to lead you, to steer you into your destiny, or to steer you away from your destiny. And they had an option. Who's going to be my leader? Because I got to take the charge here. I got to lead here. But I got to look again, either at the raging storm or the resting Lord. And if Jesus is my leader, I'm wondering why no one went down and took a nap with Jesus. If he's really our leader, you with me on this? He is the leader. He is the Lord. If Jesus is really our leader, how come no one went and laid down and took a nap with Jesus and said, well, if he can trust the Father to get us to the other side, I guess I can too. Can you imagine just like 11 dudes just curled up in the back on a cushion trying to get some space and taking a nap? The boat would flip, yeah. What am I saying? Who's really your leader? Whose voice are you listening to? And who's really your leader? Is the storm your leader? This is why I like what Bill Johnson says. We don't do anything in reaction to the devil, but always in response to God. God's our leader. So if I see the devil doing something, I'm not going to sit there and let his unsettledness get inside of me and make me unsettled too. You know, there's people who do demonic things, and I'm sure you guys have seen that in the past 3 years all over. I mean, we're in Southern California, but you guys being in Portland, I'm sure you've seen all kinds of crazy demonic stuff going on and people just being weird. But if we only are going to react to the devil, then we've missed it. We can't just react to the devil. We have to live from a higher place. Because watch this. If our whole life is reacting to what the devil's been doing, then who's really our leader? Selah. Think about that one. Then I'm letting the devil distract me and get me off on something I never should have been on when I could have just been following Jesus, restfully sleeping on a boat in the middle of a life-threatening storm. Am I making sense? We have to ask the question, who's our leader? Whose voice are we listening to and who's our leader? And obviously the right answer, it's like kids' church, it's Jesus. Jesus is the answer every single time. It's Jesus. He's the one. But we have to ask the question, whose voice are we listening to and who's our leader? What are we going to do with this? And like Rochelle was saying, it's faith. God wants to put faith in us, but we have to break agreement with fear today. We can't let it win. If we let fear win, it stands at the doorway of our destiny and we never cross through to see the great things that God wants to do in our lives. Come on, like Sulamitha is going to prophesy the word of the Lord when she sings. She's going to start singing. She's going to prophesy. And I'm telling you, when she sings, the word of the Lord is going to come forth. And y'all are going to get wrecked because the word of the Lord is going to come forth. But if she gets a little afraid, how many I know? The sound's not going to come forth. But I know that she's the kind of person that's going to break agreement with fear and start singing the song of the Lord. How many of you agree with that? I believe God's going to use you to prophesy, to have prophetic worship come forth. I might have even said this to you before, but I feel like the Lord is going to, he's going to begin to sing the song of the Lord. And it's different. It's not just singing like what you see happening in the room, but it's singing from God's heart. The Father speaking and you're singing in first person what God is saying to the people. God says, and you're going to fill in the blanks and you're going to begin to do that. And as you do that, I'm going to watch. I know God's going to, it's going to be like this fear. And you're just going to be like pummeling this fear every single time you do it. And as you sing the song of the Lord, you're going to see many people get encounters with the Lord because God's going to push through. And you're going to break fear. And you're not only just going to break fear and pushing through for yourself, but your step to break fear and to push out and to do more is going to release freedom for everybody else. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm telling you, and I'm telling you, you can read this later, but in 1 Samuel 17, David, all of Israel was crippled by fear, but David got out there. It takes a David, it takes a worshiper, it takes somebody who wants God. And David got out there, and he defeated the giant. And when David defeated Goliath, the rest of the army was like, oh, snap, we've been under a spell this whole time. And the whole army rose up. They pushed forward with a huge shout and they chased the Philistines off their promised land. That's what's going to happen. I'm telling you, that's called the breaker anointing. And when you release the word of the Lord, I'm telling you, the whole people that you're leading, they're going to break forth because something's going to unlock in them because it unlocked in you. Amen. Take that. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We're going to land on this and then we're going to pray. The question I want you to ask is, really, because this is what warriors need to do. We have to identify this. We got to know, like, what voice am I listening to? Who's our leader? We break agreement with fear. And then I believe we're going to do that as we land this session right with us today. But you have to ask the question, what are you really fighting for? What are you fighting for? Because warriors are meant to fight, but you have to ask the question, why? And what's the battle for? This guy named G.K. Chesterton, he said this. The true soldier fights not because he hates what's in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him. We don't go out there and want to see the kingdom come and see people's lives change because we necessarily just hate the devil and hate this stuff. It's because we love God and we love the people and we have love compelling us to move forward and see people get saved, healed, and delivered. This is what we're coming after. It's not because we hate what's in front of us, because we love what's behind them. The soldiers, they leave their home and they go to another place and they fight, not because they hate the other side, but because they love what they're fighting for behind them. There's a story, and we're not going to go into it too much, but in Genesis, I think it's like 29, Jacob worked, watch this, he worked 14 years to get his wife Rachel. The Laban, the father, said, okay, if you work 7 years, I'll give you Rachel as your wife. I don't know if you guys remember this story. You guys read this story before? He worked 7 years. I don't know how this happened. And then on the wedding night, they swapped and then got the Laban gave him Leah instead of Rachel. I don't know how that works. I don't know. I'm not trying to read between the lines. It's just a weird thing. He swapped him on the wedding night. And then he wakes up. He's like, it's Leah. Oh, my God. Like, how did that happen? And then he tells the dad. He's like, what'd you do, man? And then he said, it's not right to give away the younger daughter first. We got to marry off the first one. I'm thinking like, wow, that is a tricky way to make that happen, dude. I'm like, oh, my gosh. But then he tells him and he says, listen, if you work for me another 7 years, then you can have Rachel too. And you know what the Bible said? He said that 7 years was so quick for him. It seemed just like only a moment because he had love for Rachel. Mike Bickle says that lovers make better ministers than workers. And what I mean by that, when we're loving Jesus, when we're so in love with God and we're so in love with his heart and we want to minister his heart, man, 14 years, it doesn't matter. I'll do whatever it takes because I love this. I want to see God come. I want to see Jesus come. You follow what I'm saying? Whether it's 14, 500, I don't really care. Like, I will give everything all the time. I'm going for it. And I will push every barrier of fear out of the way. If I gotta work 14 more years, I will do whatever it takes. I'm not letting fear stop me. Not because I'm just trying to do something for me, but because I love God and I love His people and I love what God loves. It'll be only a little bit of time because I've got love burning inside of my heart. The fire of God's love wants to burn in your heart so that it was so much greater than the fear in front of you. If you have the love of God burning in your heart, it's greater than the fear that's in front of you. You with me today? God wants to put faith in us. God wants to put the fire of his love inside of us. And I believe the commander of the Lord's army is here today to put faith in us, to make us stand out and to be in holy ground. That's what happened with Joshua in Joshua chapter 5. The commander of the army of the Lord came and he stood before Joshua. And Joshua said, "Are you with us or for our enemies?" And the commander of the Lord, who is Jesus, just said, "Neither. As commander of the army of the Lord, I've now come." And he said, "Take off your feet because the place is holy." That's where we got this morning in worship, the holy ground. We went into the holy place. And the reason why God wants to come in the holy place is because he wants to raise up an army that would love God and would burn with the fire of his love and that would love his purpose, to love his kingdom and to bring it on the earth. But we have to break agreement with fear. We can't be intimidated. Are you with me this morning? We can't be intimidated. Oh, hallelujah. We got to break complacency. We got to break apathy. We got to cry out to God. And I'm telling you, when you break out of passivity, you step into passion. But you have to cross the line. And some of us, I'm telling you, I believe this is the word of the Lord. God wants to break fear off of us today. And I'm telling you, if all of us were 100% free from fear, this place would be a shouting fest right now. Hallelujah. But there's some fear that we need to break. And I believe it's like a glass ceiling. We can see it, but we can't seem to break. And I believe that breakthrough anointing is going to break through. And Jesus is going to just set us free from fear and intimidation. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Are you with me? Come on, maybe you can come and play the keys. And we're gonna pray. Did you have something else you wanted to? Oh, no, I'll just have her play the keys and you can pray with me in a second. Oh, yeah, come on. She's going to testify and then we're going to pray.
Growing up in the church, I grew up in the church and my parents were very, very involved. I mean, I was there all the time, homeschooled until I was fifth grade. I'm just trying to paraphrase a little bit here, but not a whole lot of social ways to come and hang out with people. It was like very, like I was homeschooled, just my family. So I think because of that, and being an introvert, because of that, I think I was very shy and very, very like, I couldn't really like talk with people. And then going to church in the youth group, especially in high school, junior high, I mean, I was like a closed up clam. I didn't want to talk. I was like, nope, I'm not going to go and I'm not going to like open myself up. And I think because my personality, like I was so much of an introvert, just naturally, and nothing wrong with that ever. But I would make a friend, and for whatever reason, they would leave. They would have to move away. And it was this cycle kept repeating over and over again. And I remember just kind of getting hurt by that. I think I was like, man, I make a friend, I open up to somebody, and then they leave and they like move away. And after a while, I think it kind of like caused my heart to become hard inside, like very hard. And I ended up actually hating people. I was like, nope, I hate people. Didn't want to hurt them or anything like that. But I just remember like I just was feeling like this very, very like hard place. And I just was like, I hate people. I'm not going to like open up myself or let people in at all. And, you know, the Lord got a hold of my heart. I received Jesus when I was about 15. And I started going to church, the Summit Church where our home church is. Around the age of 17 years old is when I started getting involved. And I remember it's like you're coming into, like I grew up in the church and I felt like it was hard for me like to open up to people. And I walked away from the church, came back again at 17 years old. And I remember it's like, oh, like there's people again. There's more people. And like, it was this thing that I had to like get over, right? And I just remember it was very uncomfortable and I felt like so much anxiety. Like it was very hard to like break free of that. However, I knew the Lord was like, this is your place. This is your home. This is exactly where you need to be. And I remember just going there like afraid and just like, ugh, I got to do this thing, you know? And, so good because it's just like what Andrew was saying, right? You have to like go through the hard things. in order to see a breakthrough. And after a while of just going there, I mean, I feel like that I have absolutely no more anxiety when I'm, like, going to people and meeting people. And, of course, the gospel, preaching the gospel and stuff. It's like, I want to tell you about Jesus because I no longer have, like, this, like, hatred in my heart anymore. It's like I have love for people. And it was like the Lord just completely set me free of that. And it was so amazing. And, you know, like, right now, speaking in front of people, hey everybody, I'm here and we're doing this thing, you know. And it's like, I don't always actually am in front of people, but it's almost like it doesn't even matter. Like, God just, like, wants to set people free, and whatever it is, it could be social anxiety, or it could just be just, like, breaking through to preaching the gospel, or saying, hey, you know, do you guys have pain in your body? Or, like, can I pray for you? Or, like, I want to tell you guys about Jesus. Whatever it is, I just know that it's true in my life, and I just know it can be true for you guys if you guys are going through that. Or if you're saying, hey, you know, socially, or just, like, feeling anxiety. I know maybe with 2020, something, like, people have said that they've gone through so much more anxiety since then. And it's like, I just feel like the Lord is just wanting to set people free of that. And so, I don't know what you want to do, but maybe we can just have an altar call for that.
Yeah, this is what I feel like to do. And this is actually what we're going to do is going to be the first step of breaking fear. Because the deal is, if we're comfortable where we're at and we're like, I don't want to go up front and all that, this is the best place. I'm telling you, church is training ground for world changers. And if we can do it here, then for sure we'll do it out there. But if we don't do it here, man, it's like a football player going to the game but never going to practice and expecting to win. I believe today is the day of breakthrough for many of you. And so here's what I want to do. I want to just, let's all stand together. And we're gonna pray in just a second. But I just feel this this morning, and I feel the Lord wants to break fear off of us and break intimidation off of us. It's no longer, we're not meant to be intimidated. We're not meant to be crippled by fear. We're not meant to be like Gideon hiding away in a wine press, or the disciples freaking out on the boat, or meant to be like, you know, locked up in a room. We do experience that, but that's our chance and our opportunity to push through and say, nope, that's not going to define me. Fear will not define me. Can you say that with me? Say, fear will not define me. Come on, say it again. Fear will not define me, but Jesus will. But Jesus will. Amen. And so just shut your eyes for a second. I want to pray. Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, we welcome the Spirit of the living God. And we thank you. Your Spirit is greater than any other spirit. And right now we take authority over the spirit of fear. And we break its power. We release your presence. Ha. And I just want to do this before we go any further. If you're here and you actually need to accept the Lord Jesus, and you need to ask Him to forgive your sins, that you would have a home in heaven and have forgiveness of sins and to start this relationship with Him, or maybe you've walked away, now's the time. Now's the time to say yes to Jesus, because this is a moment the Holy Spirit's moving in this place. And if that's you, and you're saying, I need to give my life to Jesus today, He He's pulling on my heart, and maybe I've walked away, or maybe I just never did that, and I need to give my life back to Jesus. If that's you, I just want you to put your hand up right now, and we're going to pray with you. I'm just going to give a moment for this, and then we're going to tackle fear. But if you're here this morning, you got to be bold and just say, you know what? I need to give my life to Jesus. I haven't been walking with Him, and I need to give my life to Jesus. Yep, I see you there, bro. Come on. Anyone else in the back over here? Thank you, Lord. We're going to give our lives completely to Him today. There's two of us today. Anybody else want to join them? We're just going to pray, and then we're going to tackle fear. Anyone else, just put your hand up and say, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Right there, I see you there, bro. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Just put your hand up and just say, I need to give my life to Him. Thank you, Lord. And if you're watching online, you can pray with us in just a second. You can type in the chat, yes, Jesus. But all over this room, whether you raise your hand or not, the three of you who said you're going to give your life, I want you just to pray this with me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I come to you now. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And so this day, come into my heart. I give you my life. I surrender. I make you my Lord and Savior. I turn from sin and I turn to you. In Jesus' name. Whew. Right there. Just open your hands. Just receive. Just receive the mercy and the grace of God. If you're here this morning, I feel like this might be everybody, so this might be crazy, but we might not all fit. But if you're here this morning, and I just feel like, and if you're saying, today, I'm choosing to break agreement with fear, and today, and I want to pray specifically for those who felt like fear has been holding you back a lot, and especially in this last season of your life. If you're saying that fear has been holding you back a lot, I want you to just put your hand up real quick, and I want to pray with you. I feel like this could be almost all of us, and so, but here's what I want to do. I'm going to just keep your hands open to the Lord, and I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to move, and then I'm going to have some of you come forward. But just open your heart to Him, because I feel the Lord wants to come and just release breakthrough in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come upon those who are breaking agreement with fear today. God, I ask you to fall on us today with deliverance power, with breakthrough power right now, in the name of Jesus. Woo! Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, we declare, fear go. Holy Spirit, come. Burn like a fire. Blow like the wind. Fear go. Holy Spirit, come. Burn like a fire. Blow like the wind. Fear go. Holy Spirit, come. Burn like a fire.
Spirit come, burn like a fire. Jesus' name. Let the fire of God burn in Jesus' name. Every spirit that's trying to torment your people, we bring His power in Jesus' name. Woo! We release the fire of the Lord. We release the fire of the Lord in Jesus' name.
Your people today. In the name of Jesus. Yo!
take the sword of the Lord. I'm telling you, some of you are going to feel an actual like weight come in your hands. Just put your hands out and receive it. Some of you are going to feel like a weight come on your hands. That's because God's dropping a sword on you. Hallelujah. Lord, we release the sword of the Lord. And that was what they shouted in the next few chapters of Judges. They said, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. God partnered himself with the warrior. I'm telling you, God's going to partner himself with you guys in this season. I'm telling you, God has called this house like the house of Judah. He's called this house the house of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There's a warrior anointing. There's a fierceness. There's a courage. And I'm telling you, some of you guys have been dealing with trials and tribulations. But the Lord says it's because he's calling the warrior to awaken within the church here. He's raising up an army. He's raising up the Gideon's army. And though small, that you are mighty. Gideon had 300 of them. But he whittled it down from 30,000 to 300. Because God can save, whether by few or by many. And I'm telling you, this is what God's doing. He's raising up a Gideon's army, a warrior bride, a church that's fierce, a church that's brave, a church that does not get held back by fear. God, we release the courage of the lion in Jesus' name. Come on, release the roar. Release the roar. Release the roar. Hallelujah. Come on, just a little bit more. We push in. God, thank you for the breakthrough anointing. Thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, some of you guys, it's like a little crack just got in the ceiling. And I'm telling you, the breakthrough is coming. It's like a dam that's just cracked a little bit and the waters begin to rush forth. I'm telling you, some of you guys are going to begin to step out. You're going to begin to step out and prophesy. You're going to begin to step out and lead in prayer and intercession. You're going to begin to step out and prophesy and preach the word of the Lord. Just push in with me for a little bit more. Just with intercession and pushing into the Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the breakthrough today. We thank you for the breakthrough. We're taking a whole company of people and pushing them in to destiny today.
Jesus, God. Let this generation walks in fear of the Lord. Let us experience a true fear of the Lord. That we walk with you, God. And help us understand that He doesn't follow us. We follow Him not knowing. Thank you, God. And I just believe and I prophesy that this generation will seek your face, will seek the true heart of God in worship and prayer and evangelism. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Yes. In the name of Jesus. Oh, just lift a prayer. That these chains will be broken, these walls crumbling down.
Out to God. Are you ready? We take those excuses, we put them in our hand. One, we're getting rid of them all.
Two, we're not letting it hold us back any longer. Three, shine! Today, we choose faith. We look to Jesus. I'm praying today, and we declare today that every one of us steps forward today. We broke through something. I don't want you to just keep your hearts open and receive, but I want you to hear this. God will do His part, but we also have to do ours. So God will tell that thing to go and find it. We have to choose not to listen to it anymore. And we have to choose to move forward and to go fight the battles that God has us to fight. So Holy Spirit, right now, we receive your strength right there. God's filling some people with fresh strength today. We receive your strength. We receive your spirit. Wow. And we thank you that fear is under our feet. And we move forward in faith today. We'll trust you to do the things that maybe yesterday we were afraid of, but today we got faith. We're not going to let fear stand at the doorway of our destiny anymore. We're going to push right through it and possess the promise of God for our life and see God do some amazing things. In Jesus' mighty name. If you agree, shout amen. Give God praise. Amen.